The title of today's message is A New You in 2022. So that's pretty, see, I already got the stamp of approval from Logan Kessig, so it's good. Now, in ancient world, in the Bible days, they didn't have bottles and cans and things like that to take their liquids on traveling trips with, right? We've got our thermoses, we've got our Yetis, we've got our, what else do we have to keep our liquids cold or hot all day long? And we have our favorite one that we usually take with us, right? Well, they didn't have that back then. And so what they did was they took animal skins and they would sew them together, make kind of like a canteen. And the famous ones that we're used to hearing about in the Bible are wineskins. And oftentimes what would happen is with these wineskins is they would age and then they would get hard and they would get brittle and they would crack, and you would never put new wine in an old wineskin because the new wine still has a process of fermentation. It's still fermenting, and so the gases that come from that liquid, from that wine, will cause the aged, brittle wineskin to crack and maybe burst. And which, by the way, coffee does the same thing, if you don't know. So I picked up a new habit a couple of years ago, roasting my own coffee beans. Well, there's this process for about 5 days or so after you roast your beans, which, another fun fact, they're actually seeds, they're not beans. So after you roast them, it's called a degassing period. It's about 5 days or so to where these gases are still escaping the seeds, the beans. And the way they found this out was when they were mass producing the coffee beans, they would put them in containers, they actually put them in cans, and then when they would ship them out and they would get to their destinations, the cans would be popped open because the gas was trying to escape the beans, and the cans, there was no way for it to escape. So when you buy your better coffee that has kind of that exhaust valve in it, there you go. It's so your bag doesn't bust. So, little fun fact. But anyways, so you would never put new wine in an old wineskin because of the age of the skin. And so Jesus, some of you might be familiar with this, he taught on this in Luke chapter 5. And we're going to use this passage as the starting point for this series. And so some people came to Jesus and they noticed. So there were some different sets of teachers, so to speak, at the time. One was John the Baptist. He was Jesus's cousin. And he paved the way for Jesus to come. He preached a message of repentance. And so he paved the way for people to repent, and they would get water baptized. And he was preparing the people's hearts for Jesus. And so his disciples, they would fast. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, they would fast. And so these people came to Jesus and they said, hey, his disciples fast, these guys fast. We noticed that your disciples don't fast. So Jesus was trying to teach them that, listen, and he was kind of talking in a little bit of cryptic code like he sometimes did. But what he was trying to say was, I am bringing something new when it comes to the kingdom of God and its relation to mankind. So prior to Jesus, in the Old Testament, God would choose people to be his mouthpiece for the Israelites, his prophets. They were the ones that would be filled with the Holy Spirit and God would use to preach a message to people. And then also he would have the priests, where you would bring an offering. You would bring an animal, or you would bring some grains, or whatever kind of different offering you would have. You would bring it to the temple, and then the priests would do the sacrifice, or they would offer the grain offering up to God. Because there wasn't a relationship just yet. It was kind of a religious establishment that God was trying to build in the Old Testament. And Jesus came to break that. Jesus came to create a relationship between mankind and himself where we don't need another man, such as a prophet or the priests, to do the sacrifices to go to God for us. Does that make sense? So Jesus was bringing something new, and these people were like, hey, we notice you guys don't fast like the other religious people around town. And so Jesus said this message to them in Luke chapter 5. This was his response. He said, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. So this is what I mean, like a little cryptic, like, hey, we noticed that your disciples don't fast. And this was his answer. So what are you talking about? I mean, like, you're talking about wineskins. We obviously, we know that we don't put new wine in old wineskins. But then the last line is a little bit of a dig against the religious leaders who were out to get him. No one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. No one who is doing the religious practices right now of the day wants this new thing that I'm bringing. That's what he's saying. And so think about it. Here's the deal. New situations require new structures, right? When we come into a new situation, sometimes we have to change our way of thinking. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell them. Listen, there's something new coming. I am it. And it's going to require a new structure, a new way of thinking. When you start a new job, you've got to learn new skills. When you start new relationships, you need to learn new ways of relating. Maybe you're dating somebody new. Maybe you're getting married. Maybe you're done hanging out with this crowd and getting in trouble. And you started coming to church and hanging out with this crowd. Well, you can't relate to these people the same way you used to. So it's a whole new structure, new relations, new skills to learn. When you want to do something new, you have to learn to change a little bit. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell them here. Also, a new life with Jesus means what? A whole new way of living. Everything changes, right? We have to love people that we don't really like. We have to do better when nobody is watching. We know that Jesus will help us no matter how bad we are. So everything is new. So this passage from Luke could be, for some of us, a life verse for this new year. Maybe some of us need to become new wineskins. In order for us to accept new things, we need to be ready and willing to make a change. If we want to succeed in this coming year, if we want our goals to become a reality, we cannot, like Jesus said, be happy with the old wine and say it's just fine. We can't continue to do things the way we've always done them and wonder why I'm not succeeding over here. It just doesn't work that way. And some of us really need to get out of that mindset of thinking everything is fine the way I'm doing it because everything is just fine. But you want to advance in life, but you're not happy because you're not advancing. But you're using that saying of, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. And there is some truth to that, but if you want to advance in life, you got to tweak some things. Things need change. You got to learn new ways of doing things. We must be willing to make the necessary changes when it comes to improving what's going on with ourselves and the things around us. And if you have the desire and the drive to bring about a fresh start in becoming a new person, then you're going to come up against some obstacles. Because, here's the three things we're going to look at today. New obstacles require creativity. New pressures require conviction. And new possibilities require courage. So those are the three things we're going to look at today. And new obstacles will require creativity. Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 15 says this, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. If intelligent people are always ready to learn, and you're not willing to learn, that makes you... I'll let you figure that out. But you know, something that I've done with myself throughout the years is I have kind of conditioned myself to always be willing to change, always be open to change. I'm constantly critiquing myself. We are our own worst critics, right? But I'm constantly critiquing the way I preach, the way I run a meeting, the way I've ministered to somebody. I'm always reviewing, could I have done that better? Could I have dialed something back? Could I have responded a little bit differently? And I'm willing to make the necessary changes when that comes about. Because if I'm not, then I'm fooling myself into thinking that I'm getting better at things. And also, I have people around me. I have people around me that I ask questions of. Also, here's another thing. I am willing to receive the counsel that I'm seeking as well. If I'm asking somebody a question and they give me an answer that I'm not really happy with, but it's something that will help me improve, then I've got to be willing to move in that. Put your pride and your ego aside for a minute and say to yourself, maybe there is some truth to what I'm listening to here. And if I know the people around me, I know who I can ask when I want the answer I'm looking for. If you surround yourself with people who are always going to tell you what you want to hear, again, good luck with advancing. But I also have people around me who I can ask, hey, what'd you think about this? What'd you think about that part of the service? What'd you think about this church event? And I know that they're going to give me an honest answer. It might not be what I want to hear, but it's done in love, and it's given for in a way that will improve how we do it the next time here at the church. So you have to be open to that with your employer, or maybe your employees, or your spouse, or your family, or your children. You need to be willing to say, I can accept the answer I'm given here, because the answer they're giving me is something that's going to help me. In their mind, it's going to help me. So I'm always looking for ways to improve, and then that means that I need to be willing to learn to change when it comes time to make a change. Anytime we want to advance in life, we're going to see new and different obstacles in our way. It's just a fact. And we need to be creative in learning how to conquer or overcome these obstacles. And the truth is, more times than not, most people spend more time trying to avoid the obstacle or trying to conquer the obstacle than they do actually conquering it. Oftentimes the excuse is, it's too hard. I don't know what to do. It's going to take too long. Or the one we're going to dial in on, I'm not that creative. We think that we're not very creative when in fact we are all uniquely designed by our Creator, and we have His stamp of approval that makes each one of us creative in our own way. We're all creative. We can always conquer the obstacles that stand in our way. Always. I kind of look at it as a challenge. The bigger the obstacle, the bigger the challenge. The more people I may need to involve in this. Get people with you to help you with that. The more brains on something, the easier it is to accomplish the task. But the Apostle Paul taught on this into the church of Ephesus when he was helping them understand that as new followers in Jesus, they can no longer live the lifestyle or live the life that they once were living before they put their faith in Jesus. And so we want to look at that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. And Paul says this. He's talking about living as children in the light. And he's talking about putting away all of the sinful desires that you once had. And he says this, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Now here it is. Instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So this is talking about a change of character as followers of Jesus. We've got to be willing to change. This passage should also serve as a reminder to us that we cannot do the things we once did prior to our faith in Jesus. And it's very easy to slip into our old habits. It doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus. It always starts with a thought, and another thought, and another thought. And then you see somebody else doing it. And then you might get invited somewhere. And then you say to yourself, well, I can do it just this one time. And then it becomes easier. And then you're doing it. And you think you can balance it with your faith in Jesus. And then sooner or later, you get tripped up. But this passage also tells us that our attitude about things must constantly be changing. This is what I think Paul was trying to say here. Because new obstacles require creativity. And since we are created in God's image, to be like Him, we cannot say we are creative when in fact we have His creative DNA inside each one of us. We're all creative in our own way. And I used to think this too. I'm not very creative. I'm more administrative. But when I was a youth pastor, I started making up little postcards to send out to everybody. And I was like, wow, these are looking pretty neat. I think I'm kind of creative here. And you know, it dawned on me. It kind of clicked. It was like, well, you are creative because I made you that way. See, the Holy Spirit will help us with our attitude and help us solve all the issues we face when we're striving for a fresh start. Because He wants that for us more than anything. And when we let Him, He will renew our thoughts and our attitudes. Oftentimes when it comes to a fresh start, when it comes to doing something new, we're like, I like things the way they are. Most people do not like computer updates, their phone updates. I love them. I love them because it gives me something new to learn. I just like it. Because I'm constantly thinking about what's the new thing we can do. It's very easy to say, I like things the way they were. But the Holy Spirit is always thinking of new ways to do things with you. That's what keeps our relationship with Jesus fresh and exciting. So we cannot control the obstacles that we're going to face. But we can choose the way we react to them, the way we respond to them. So that's the first one there. What was it called? New obstacles require creativity. So now let's talk about conviction. So you're trying to do new things. You're like, yeah, I got this. I can be a little creative here. Things are kind of working out. And then all of a sudden you got some pressures. You got some things you haven't faced yet. You got people, you got issues pulling you in different directions. Now you got to deal with your convictions. New pressures require conviction. Conviction is the boldness to stand up for what is right, what is biblical. Your convictions are things that you won't get caught up in debates and arguments about, because a conviction is something you'll die for. Your convictions in Jesus. A good passage to teach on convictions can be found in Romans chapter 12, when the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Rome. And we can actually tie the passage from Ephesians into this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I teach from the New Living Translation. Some of you might be used to, do not conform to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I find this a little bit easier. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, again, like Paul was teaching the Ephesians, you cannot live this old lifestyle and still be a believer in Jesus. And what he's saying to the Romans is you cannot continue to copy the ways of the world, but let God transform the way you think. Let the Holy Spirit help you with the way you think, help you with your convictions in life. Again, this has to do with our character. But also, as followers of Jesus, we are to stand strong against what the world brings across our path. Because we all know that we're going to come up against things out in the world that don't coincide with our faith in Jesus. In striving for a fresh start, be ready to face previous weaknesses. Because we have an enemy that doesn't want to see any one of us succeed. And don't get caught up in doing what everyone else is doing. Take a stand for what is right and biblical. This is big with young people because you've got your faith in Jesus and you've got your life over here at church and you've got your church group and then you've got your school friends or your college friends or your work friends and they're doing other things. And you're keeping your faith silent. And you want to do what they're doing, but it doesn't fit your faith. And so you feel pulled in different directions. And when you stand strong in your convictions with Jesus, maybe this means adults as well, older people, you often feel like you're isolated. You feel like you're all by yourself. And maybe you feel like people are making fun of you, and maybe they are, and maybe you feel embarrassed because you're over here with your faith in Jesus. But let me tell you a little something about that. Just because you're over here doesn't mean that there's somebody over here in this group that isn't admiring your stand with your convictions in Jesus. There's somebody watching you, and they admire the fact that you're standing strong and not doing everything that everybody else is doing. So what you're doing over here in your convictions with Jesus, it appears that you're going against the flow. Well, we have a saying in our house when it comes to going against the flow. Everybody wants to go with the flow. Well, guess what flows downstream? Dead fish. Strong fish go upstream, so you're over here. But anyways, listen, there are people that are admiring your faith and your convictions. You just don't know it. So stand strong in that, please. You'll thank yourself in the end. You'll thank Jesus in the end. But how do we stand strong in our convictions when life is pulling us in all kinds of directions? How do we do that? Because we have our church friends, we have our youth group on Sunday nights or Monday nights here at this church, we have church on Sundays, but then we got 5, 6, 7 days a week where we're out there in the world, and maybe we're not with our church friends. We're getting pulled in all kinds of different directions. Well, the only way to stand strong with that is to stay close to Jesus. His presence is what helps you stand strong. And His Word. That's where our convictions come from. Listen, Psalm 138 says this, verse 3. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. The psalmist knew, as soon as I pray, God, you answer me. And I believe that. As soon as we pray, God answers you. Sometimes, though, and more than often than not, we got to search that answer out. We got to press in to get the answer we're looking for. Or maybe the answer, it's timing. at the right time, you'll get your answer. But if you're not getting your answer, press into God some more. And try to search it out. That's what keeps us close to Him. See, God listens and God responds to those who put their trust in Him. This verse, it doesn't get any clearer than that. As soon as I pray, you answer me. That's how our God is. And our convictions, well, they come from our experiences in life, right? I've done that before and I will never do that again. And they also come from our faith in Jesus. Well, Jesus said, if I live this kind of a lifestyle, I'll stand strong against adversity. And I just faced a big situation where I came up against some things, and Jesus brought me through that. I am convicted that I will always go this path. Our strength to stand strong in the face of adversity comes from Jesus and the Word of God. And as the Apostle Paul stated to the believers in Rome, we must constantly be transforming into something new as the Holy Spirit brings about the convictions and helps us in the way we think about these things. You know, when I'm doing projects around the house or oftentimes I'll be up here on the stage doing something, just kind of working, I'm talking to God about things that are going on. Things that are going on about ministry, about church, about my life, about how can I get this thing to work. And you know what happens? He responds to me all the time. He might give me an answer of something that I was talking to him about last week. Or you know what the funniest thing is? Sometimes he'll give me an answer about a question I'm getting ready to ask him. Because I have learned throughout the years to keep that line of communication open with him, just like I would do as if somebody else was sitting here working with me. Because that's how it works. We forget that sometimes because we can't see, touch, or feel him, but we can sense his presence. New obstacles will require creativity, new pressures will require conviction, and new possibilities will require courage. And we always have that courage in there that we need, right? I am holding on to the sense, and I said this a little bit last week during ministry time, that this new year will be full of big plans that God has for this church and for each one of us. I'm often reminded of we did our, it was called Next Chapter Sunday, where we did the final transition of Pastor Dave and myself, the leadership of this church, was in October of 2019. And that transition, just so you know, was about 3 years. It wasn't a quick thing. It was done correctly, little bit at a time. And then in January of 2020, I stood up here and I preached a sermon called 2020 Vision. It's great. Logan made the best graphics ever. We put banners up, like binoculars, and 2020 vision. The church, the future, everything is looking bright. And then March, was it 12th? March 12th, COVID hit. So 3 weeks we were supposed to be locked down, and here we are. And so for the next 6 months or so, we scrambled, trying to figure out how to do online church. Every week was different because every week had a different challenge. And it was discouraging, and it was complicated, and it was hard, and it was fun, and it was bonding for each of us that were a part of it. As we tackled each challenge that came our way, there was a group of us that were here while everybody else was locked down. Because we wanted to be able to provide church for you guys. And then I would go online, I would see these other churches, and I'm like, why can't we be like them? We weren't ready for it, like everybody else. But we did it. We made it happen. We did our best. If you're not doing your best, you know, the best, that's your best. If you're doing your best, man, I'm not going to ask any more of you. And we were doing our best. And so We've had a crazy past couple of years, but I believe, this is what I truly believe, that God is saying, it's time to put that behind you. And I believe that around November, late October, November, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me about a fresh start. I kept hearing this word, a fresh start. And in the new year, a fresh start will happen for this church. I believe God is ready to do something big for this church. New faces, new believers, a fresh start, something new. New obstacles, new pressures, stronger courage, a fresh start. Not just for this church, but for each one of us that sit in these seats on Sunday. God has something specifically for you that he wants to do in you and through you in this new year. I believe that with all my heart. I wouldn't stand up here and say that if I didn't believe it. But it's not going to happen automatically. You know how you pray to God to change something in your life, and then the next day you keep praying for him to change, and then the next day you keep praying for him for that change, and then the next day, keep praying. Nothing changes because you're not doing anything to help the change. Why is God going to make a change for you if you're just going to sit there and pray about it? We got to get up and move. We got to be a part of the change. If you want a fresh start to happen, maybe you've got to shed off some of that old wineskin and make a new wineskin. Get ready for some new wine to be poured into your spirit. We must step out in faith. And when we step out in faith, there is always that element of risk. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, had a lot of sayings. And if you go to the Vineyard USA website, it's under a page called Vineyard Distinctives. Well, one of them is, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Faith is spelled risk. And so in speaking a message of judgment to the Israelites, God had this to say through the prophet Hosea. And he was reminding the Israelites of what he had originally wanted them to do. But they slipped back into their sinful nature. And I wonder if some of us need to tie the old wineskin passage with this passage in order for a fresh start to happen. Listen to what God told the Israelites at a certain period of time through the prophet Hosea in Hosea 10, verse 12. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Then he goes, but you have cultivated wickedness and harvested a thriving crop of sins. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. He said, judgment is coming. I said, do this, but you didn't. So how are we as an individual and even as a church going to be different 12 months from now? Ask yourself that question. How am I going to be different 12 months from now? You seen that meme that was out there that says, in the new year, I'm going to open up a gym, and then in 2 weeks, I'm going to turn it into a bar? I know, it's probably not a church joke, but we start the year out great, and then it just kind of fizzles away. We press in to the Word of God, to His presence, and He will keep the creativeness, He will keep our minds transforming themselves, a new way of thinking. We must cultivate new habits, new relationships, new activities, new or better work ethics, because it won't happen by itself. We must stir up the inner desires of our hearts and ask ourselves, what do I want better for my life, for my marriage, for my family, for my job, for my schooling, for my finances, for my church? We all have a list, right? The list could go on. We all have our own list that fits behind what do I want different for my, and put your list in there. Keeping the ground of our hearts plowed means that we cannot let the experiences of life harden our hearts. And it's very easy to do, especially in the area of relationships, co-workers, family, friends. You know, a farmer cannot expect a good harvest if he doesn't plow the ground. We're in the wintertime. When the springtime comes up, if a farmer just throws his seed out there on that hard ground, good luck. Plowing requires tilling, and maybe it's a little painful. You gotta plow that ground up. You gotta soften what was once hardened. When we plant seeds of righteousness and keep our hearts right towards God. So that sounds like religious-y. Like, what do you mean plant seeds of righteousness? Share your faith. Love the people around you that are hard to love. Encourage people around you. Help those when they need it. Planting seeds of righteousness. See what I'm saying? It's not complicated. Step outside of yourself for a second and think of those around you. When you plant seeds of righteousness, you harvest a crop of love. Because when you're doing that, as a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with that. Cultivating the relationships around us when we're planting seeds of righteousness will harvest or keeping our hearts right towards God. Cultivating the relationships around us and always being ready for God to move by always seeking Him. Then He will shower us with blessings. His righteousness and His ways will become a part of our daily living. And this is what will help us gain the courage when new possibilities arise. Because God will see what you're doing with others around you. He will bless you, and He will move you along into the places where you want to be or the places where He wants you to be. And maybe, just maybe, some possibilities here. If you're wondering why God isn't moving in your life and you just can't seem to get any traction, things aren't getting any better, maybe, just maybe, your heart has become hardened to new possibilities. And that ground needs to be plowed up. It's really easy to slip into that habit. Or maybe, you're done taking risks because of past failures. That's really easy to get into as well. Often, what we do is we hold on to the past accomplishments, or we hold on to our past of failures, and it keeps us from moving forward. Like the accomplishments, we're like, whew, it can't get any better than those days of old. It can't get any better than the way we used to do it. And so you don't bother trying to do something new. Or, whew, man, we've tried to do that so many times. We just couldn't get it to work. I'm not trying anything new. What's working is working. If it isn't broke, I'm not going to fix it. I know, but your life isn't getting any better. Well, it's not getting any worse. But we hold on to the good old days, remembering how they were back then, not willing to take a chance to make things better here, or we hold on to our failures of the past, reminding ourselves that I couldn't succeed back then, so I'm not willing to take a risk now. When speaking of the great things that he had already done for the Israelites. God said this through the prophet Isaiah. I mean, when you read this passage in Isaiah 43, he talks about, I parted the Red Sea for you. I brought you out from under the bondage of Egypt. I parted the Red Sea for you. I did. He lists all these great things that he had done for the Israelites. And then he said, forget all that. Forget all the good things I did for you. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. Could you imagine God saying, think about everything, think about all the great things I've done for you, Jesus says. And you're like, whoo, and he says, Dave, forget that. I got something better. It's better than that. It's bigger than that. Could you imagine? Are you willing to step into that? Are you willing to take the risk? Are you willing to build up the courage? Are you willing to stir up the creativity? Plow that hardened ground. Because God said, I got something bigger for you. And I truly believe this verse came a little late in the game in the preparation for this sermon. Because I believe this church has done some great, great things in the past. Big things, like Hellstop. Right? Tens of thousands of people came to this church and got saved. We did, what about some of our big Sundays? Some of the old timers, a Biker Sunday, big deal. Hot Rod Sunday, all the big like carnival days we had, the harvest parties, where we had a big carnival out in the parking lot, a real life carnival rides and everything. Big, big things. What if God is saying, forget all that? I am about to do something new. That was great. We had a lot of fun. People found me. They got saved. They went and spread the good news of Jesus after they left here. But hey, I'm ready to do something even bigger in this church. If you are willing to join me. What if? Just what if? What if he is saying that? The past is the past. Whether good or bad. And I think maybe that's the point God is trying to make too. But when God is involved, the best is always yet to come. Amen? So I'll kind of wrap it up with this. Here's the deal. If you are looking or you are in the need of a fresh start and you are not spiritually or emotionally prepared, you will run into obstacles that will overwhelm you. New pressures that you will give into, and you will miss out on the new possibilities that will bring about God's blessings if you're not spiritually and emotionally ready for it. To get the fresh start rolling, it comes down to this: character, creativity, conviction, and courage. The four C's. Character, creativity, conviction, and courage. These are the main tools that we'll need to move into this. And then I truly believe that Jesus has his thumb on the spiritual pulse of this church and each one of us for a fresh start in this new year. And so next week, we're going to look at some of the habits that we need to get into in trying to cultivate this fresh start. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, God. I thank you for what you have for this church. I thank you, Jesus, for this period of time, this window of time, which I am almost convinced that you have been waiting for right now. And you're looking for the people who are going to say yes to the challenge, yes to the fresh start. And for some of us, it might be a little painful at first because some cultivation needs to happen, some new ways of thinking, some transformation. But when God is in it, all things are possible. So I want to thank you for that, Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen.